Welcome to 900 Ackland Avenue, the podcast for the Ackland Avenue Church of Christ. If you'd like to read more about our community, join us at https://ackland.org. Thank you for listening to our service, and God bless you.
I gotta outdo Larry. Good morning.
Yeah, but you see the microphone.
We got a lot going on. So there's paper and crayons in the sink, and I just assumed that's what this was for. So happy Mother's Day, and to all the moms, you deserve more than a day. But I hope today's a good day. This last week, we've had a lot of graduations, and I know this personally because I was at the Vanderbilt Medical Center on Thursday evening, and it was actually really cool, besides of all the congestion that they created, but watching the graduates come out with their families, everybody just had this huge smile on their face. And that is something worth celebrating. And so we've got great weather and all of that. Welcome to Ackland Worship Service. Then we'll have fellowship time, so hang around, and coffee and donuts downstairs, followed by some really great classes for all ages. So if time permits. I'm going to start... by reading Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And this is a letter from Luke to Theophilus. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea." He was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this family, for the freedom that we have to gather in your name, to praise your name, and just lift you up. Thank you for the many blessings you give us. Be with us during this time of worship, and Father, be with all of us, knowing we're sinners, but you forgive us every day, all the time. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen.
Closer till I am. Morning. I'll be reading Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a song, psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And now I'd like to offer the Lord's Prayer. If you'd like to join me, feel free. Trespass version. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God moved in a mysterious way. Well, good morning, church family. Larry, thank you for the songs this morning. There's some beautiful nuggets in some of those old songs. I've been trying to figure out my whole life what it means that God is his own interpreter. And I'll enjoy thinking about it for another 20, 30 years. There's just some neat phrases in some of these songs. Today's going to be a little different. You've noticed paper and colored pencils and crayons on the pew. If you want to go ahead and grab a piece of paper, grab a crayon or a colored pencil, and give you an opportunity to just kind of doodle and do some artwork as I do the message this morning. It's one of those rare times you don't even need to feel like you need to make eye contact. It's kind of like a Bob Ross Sunday, okay? We can put it that way. And you're not going to have to show it to anybody. This isn't like a ministry trick to where at the end you have to show it to someone and make some profound statement. Just try not to do your grocery list or something like that this morning. One of the big questions we ask in life is, where is God? And we ask this a lot when we see such tragic things on the news. We see war and violence and hunger and poverty and famine. And so we often ask, where is God? We both see and we experience racism and sexism and various isms. And we ask, where is God? We sense there's something health-related going on. We go to the doctor. We get the results. The results may or may not go our way. And we ask ourselves, where is God? And even like in the daily grind, your computer crashes. You come out and your tire is flat. And you say, where is God? So this morning, we just want to conceptualize, where is God? This is the last Sunday of Easter. Next week is Pentecost Sunday in the church calendar. Cosette will be bringing the message. She was part of our preaching class with a lot of folks back in the winter, and we were talking about Sundays people wanted to preach, and she said, oh, I would love to do Pentecost. And I know Pentecost has always been a big deal for her family, specifically Ryan, so excited to hear her bring the message next week. What we're trying to do this morning is kind of tee up Pentecost a little bit, and we're going to talk about the ascension. The ascension of Jesus is one of the more neglected doctrines in the Christian faith. And kids, what we mean by ascension is Jesus, after his resurrection, was on the earth for 40 days and then went up to heaven and is in heaven now at the right hand of God, pouring out the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to encourage you to think about this morning, to sketch out and to draw into color. Whatever that looks like for you, once again, we're not giving any grades. You know, kids, testing's over. We're in the field trip stage of the school year, right? And whatever that looks like for you, that Jesus has ascended and is at the Father's right hand, think of it this way. When our kids were young, very close to their grandparents, still are. We're blessed to have grandparents around. And about once a year, best dad will go to Italy. And you try to explain to a three-year-old where their grandparent is, when they're used to seeing their grandparent a lot. And we would say, well, sweet girl, Papa's in Italy. And that meant nothing to a three-year-old, right? So you would try to draw it out. You'd pull out a map. Or you'd get out some paper and you'd try to draw, this is where Italy is, this is where the United States is. You remember when it's a kid, they're like, do I live in Tennessee or do I live in the States? And you're like, well, both. And you're kind of, but this is all just trying to conceptualize what that looks like. And that's what we're trying to do this morning. Because if you can picture it, there's kind of some comfort. There's kind of some comfort if you can picture it. You know when one of your family members or close friends moves somewhere and you say, man, I'd love to come visit you, just so I can picture where you live. Just so I can picture where you are. And then once you do that, and some of you remember when you first left home and your parents excitedly came to visit you at your college or your first job because they wanted, and they said, okay, now I can picture what you're doing during the day, and that brings me comfort. One of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, before we read our scripture together this morning, one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible about how it changes your life if you can conceptualize that where is God and what is God doing now question comes from the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. He is known in the early church for helping the poor. Specifically, he's one of the men chosen to handle the distribution to the Grecian widows. He becomes a rising figure in the early church and then sadly becomes a Christian martyr. And as he is being executed at the end of chapter 7 in the book of Acts, he shouts out, "I see the Lord at the right hand of God." And they're yelling at him as if it's blasphemy. But in his life, he is such a clear picture of where Jesus is. He'd forgive him if he said, "God, I'm just trying to follow you. Why are you allowing me to be executed?" Or, "Guys, I'm just telling you good news. Why are you so upset with me?" You'd excuse him if he complained. You'd excuse him if he was without hope. But instead, he can see it. He can picture it. And he knows where Jesus is. And this seems to give him such great hope. So if you would, stand with me for the reading. If you want to open your bulletin, we'll read the Luke passage together. Luke chapter 24, 44 through 53. And if you'd like to join with me in the bold section, feel free. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things together. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So once again, as we wrestle with the doctrine of the ascension this morning, I encourage you to just conceptualize it however is best for you. To take out some paper and just kind of make notes or doodle or color. And there's no pressure for eye contact. And I'm going to talk for about 12 minutes and then we'll sing. The ascension takes place in Bethany. And once again, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples for over a period of 40 days. Bethany is just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. Okay? Not very far. It's just up and over the Mount of Olives. Bethany, you may remember, is where his dear Mary and Martha lived and Lazarus, a short while from Jerusalem. He's been teaching them for a long time. And then at this point, He's taken up into heaven. Aaron began our service with the Acts 1 reading, which is the telling of the ascension as well. And it's similar. It's the same thing. But prior to his ascension, he says, "I am going to send you power. Stay here around Jerusalem, Aaron, because I'm going to ascend so that I can send you power." It's a very mysterious thing, because Jesus knows if he goes away, if he leaves us, and John 14 through 17 deals with this a lot, if he leaves us, it is actually better for us, because he's going to be able to connect us with great power. And this is where the doctrine of the Trinity helps us understand the presence of God. So if we picture God up in the heavens, and kids, these are spiritual descriptions. Like if you get on, you know, SpaceX or something going to space, you're not going to find this, okay? These are spiritual descriptions. But God the Father is in the heavens, and Jesus ascends to the right hand of God, and then is going to pour out the Spirit on us, and that is a connecting point. So God is in the heavens, Jesus is with him, and he's pouring out the Spirit. And the Spirit is how we experience the presence of God now. So there's a sense in which the ascension tells us God has left us in the person of Jesus. But as we'll talk about next week at Pentecost, God is still with us because of the presence of the Spirit. The ramification is we're not alone. God is with us in an even more powerful way than before. One of the questions I've always had, if Jesus is in heaven, I'm very curious, what is Jesus doing right now? What is Jesus up to? One of the big passages on this that was always quoted to me when I was a child is from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if you want to turn with me in your pew Bible, once again, don't feel like you have to. I know we're doing artwork this morning. A lot of multitasking, friends, but it's on page 875 of your pew Bible, John 14, page 875, where he says in chapter 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be with me where I am." And growing up, I was both encouraged and troubled by that. I was encouraged because I liked the idea that Jesus was preparing something for me, that there's something better in the future. I liked the idea that there are many rooms. I believe what Jesus means by that is that there's going to be a lot of people there, maybe some people you don't expect, right? It's going to be a full house, so to speak. And Jesus is very intentional in preparing that for us. But there were also times in my childhood, specifically when I was going through times of hardship, that I wanted to be like, "We're kind of hurting down here, God. Could you take a break from building the mansion to help us down here?" And I don't mean that in a sacrilegious or blasphemous. I'm just being honest. There were times in my childhood I thought, we could use some help. Like, could you just pause the building of the mansion, the house of many rooms, and help us down here? And there's an interpretation I was introduced to that was very helpful to me. The idea of Jesus preparing a place for us is related to Jesus sending down the Holy Spirit. By sending down the Holy Spirit, he's preparing the place. Because in many ways, the place is us. Think of it this way. He's preparing a place for us. He's simultaneously sending down the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes in us, and what does the Holy Spirit always do? If the Holy Spirit is received correctly, it makes us more like Jesus, which is an act of preparation, right? So Jesus prepares a place for us by giving us the Spirit, by making us more like Jesus, and we are becoming that house. We are becoming that place. So Jesus, the ascension teaches us that Jesus is present in our world. Jesus is acting in our world. And when I was a child or a teenager, even a young adult, saying, "God, just take a break from the mansion and help us," and what I heard the Lord saying to me is, "Hey, I am helping you. You are that mansion. You are that temple, the church. You are the body, and I'm sending down the Spirit to prepare you." Another related thing I heard a lot is thinking of God's process of making us more like Jesus is preparing us to be the type of person that would actually enjoy being in the presence of God for eternity. And the older we get, the more we grow in the Spirit, we become that person that, you know, man, I think I'm actually going to enjoy being in the presence of God. I mean, believe me, I've met people that I'm like, I'm not even sure that they would enjoy being in the presence of God, right? There have been times in my life maybe that way. But that's what that preparation is. Also, there's this sense of the ascension. By sending down the Holy Spirit, we are being given power. And the scripture teaches us, and we're going to end the service with Ephesians 1, which mentions this as well. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that is now in you. And the reason you have that power is because Jesus has gone to the right hand. And there's a deep meaning to this idea of right hand. If you do just a simple word search in the Bible, the right hand, it's going to pop up so much, this idea of the right hand. And, you know, in contemporary culture, we've gotten a little more accustomed to this phrase because of Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton. And there's that song in Hamilton, right? The right-hand man. That Alexander Hamilton was the right-hand man for George Washington. So what does that mean? Washington needed kind of someone in his corner helping him carry out his will. And in Washington's sense, it was politically, and it was involved around the revolutionary things. But he had a vision, but he needed someone to help carry out his vision. Okay? So the way the scriptures conceptualize, once again, Jesus is God, okay? And I want you to help carry out my vision for how the world should be. In the words of the song Larry said, saying, the sweet will of God. How are we going to carry out this will? Jesus says, we're going to do it by giving power to the humans, power to the believers, these priests on earth, as Revelation will talk about. We're going to give them the Spirit, and because they have that power, they will be able to enact the will of God on earth. And so we become kind of that right-hand person too, like Hamilton was to Washington, carrying out God's will. But the beauty of it all, if you're thinking, I don't know that I'm up for that, I'm like, me neither. But we're not asked to do it alone. The power of God is in our veins to do this. And so the scriptures end at the end of Revelation. In Revelation 21, this is page 1004 of your Pew Bible. Revelation 21. Where Jesus brings this new Jerusalem that he has been preparing and reunites with humanity. I'll read just a few verses of Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. This is what John is talking about in John 14, the house with many rooms. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. So what we have here in the future, Jesus is preparing things for the end by sending his Spirit on us, and we should see and expect growth. We should see and expect will to take root. Now, often in life, things are too backwards, right? We know that in our personal lives and in society. But we should be doing better, all of us, and as a community, as the Holy Spirit comes. There should be growth. Jesus is constantly talking about growth, spiritual. And this will crescendo in history with this preparation coming full force and God's dwelling place being with us. And that all happens because of the ascension. Notice what the angel said there in Acts 1. In the same way he left, he will return. This is the bookend of the liturgical year, the first and second comings of Jesus. Talk about the first coming of Jesus in the incarnation and the second coming of Jesus when he returns. And he will return to meet us from the Father's right hand, and he will finalize the process of making all things new. So what does this mean as we wrap it up? The scriptures are giving us an answer to these probing questions of where is God and what is God up to? What's God doing in this world? And the answer is, Jesus is alive. That's the message of Easter. Jesus is still alive. When he came out of that tomb, he never died again. He's still alive. And he's working in your life. He's present in your life. He can be experienced. He's not some absentee God. But he's in your life with the Holy Spirit, giving you power to be the person you were always meant to be, to be the best version of yourself, to overcome the challenges in your life, to get through the difficulties, to do the challenging things you have been called to. So once again, picture that story of Stephen. That when Stephen is really squeezed, when he's really challenged, in that moment, he thinks of everything as Jesus is at the right hand of God. Now, what's interesting about this story is throughout the scriptures, it talks about Jesus being seated at the right hand of God. But in the Acts 7 story, when Stephen talks about it, he says, in the midst of him being stoned to death, he looks up and Jesus is not seated. Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. And I don't know all the interpretations of that, but one of my favorites is that Jesus is standing because he's concerned. Because he's concerned. So as you go about your week tomorrow, and you go out the next few months in the summer, what is shaping up to be a very interesting year, remember that Jesus is at the right hand of God and you are not alone. As you drive in your car throughout the day, thinking about life's challenges, you're seeking to pay your bills, figuring out how to get the car fixed, figuring out, man, this is a difficult relationship in my life, or how, man, I really feel called to take my career to the next level, but I don't know how to do it. Parenting is more difficult than I thought it was going to be. Marriage is more difficult than I thought it was going to be. I'm trying to love my neighbor, but it feels really hard. And in all those circumstances, remember, friends, you're not alone. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. And you have power. The same power that created the earth, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is in you. It's in you. God is with us. We are not alone. Let us stand together and sing.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into my freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my bond and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrows into thy palm, out of thy storms and into thy calm. Out of her stress to jubile and song, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. I come to thee, out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair to raptures above, on cornelian wings of the dove, Jesus, I come to thee, out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of proven soul, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face behold, Jesus, I come to thee.
My Jesus has thy will, O
So today, but you'll understand why I am too loud sometimes. So today, my mom has never sang the national anthem at a Major League Baseball game. And my small little mom, however, she would crush it. It would not be, like, she would totally bulldoze that song. It would be amazing. She would be applauded. She's a great singer. She's a classically trained. Even now, she would crush it. She went to, I forget the name of the college exactly, but like it's part of the University of Chicago now, but like go as someone who can things with the power of her like unusual thing. It's like a Missouri, when he went to grad school, she was instead going to be just a preacher's wife, but mostly also stayed home in Europe to serve Jesus. And it's not really out loud, you know, in the idea of life. And going towards their thing, but my mom was the oldest, and actually she was the oldest of seven, like very aggressive, that's the word, aggressive melanoma. My grandma wasn't even, so put that in your buckets actually. She wasn't even 30 and she had seven kids. That is a different time, small town Washington State. So this is just kind of where they were. My grandfather actually, Penn was like, whoa, you guys are like just barely interested in parenting, aren't you? But like, you know, so my mom, at a very, very early age, became a mother. She was big sister. She was Nancy. Nancy's changing diapers. Nancy's feeding her little sisters and little brothers. She's taking care of things. She was a mother before she should have been a mother. And she was very used to giving up everything for others. That was her life. And she still is that way. I mean, and I look at myself, like I'm a product of both my parents. My dad talks too much. Yeah. And likes to think too much. Yeah, kind of. But like, my mom is the one who would always have the smallest piece. You know, we would all have the big pieces. She would have the smallest piece or no piece. You know, my mom didn't drive until she was in her 50s, which is weird. Like, actually, the DMV at Florida was really confused. They just gave her a license. They didn't realize that, they thought she was renewing, I think. I'm not really sure what's going on. They just gave her a license. She never took a driver's test. She's fine. She drives very slow, which is I think, a good thing, actually, for all of us, really, even those that are really good at driving. But she was a person that would walk long distances for anybody. And that's who she is. And she taught me to walk long distances and to do too much sometimes. I get that honestly from her because I had that example of her giving up her life for me as a mother, as a parent. And you don't have to be a parent to give up your life for somebody. But I think I know, because she was a preacher's kid, where she got this idea that she needed to give up her life for others. And that is Jesus Christ. And right now, we're going to talk, we're going to think, and we're going to pray, and we're just going to dwell on the Lord in his memory. So if you would, please pray with me. Father God, we are just humbled to be your creation. God, we're so blessed to be forgiven, to know that you've always loved us and you always will. God, be with us now as we think of your son, based on his life, on the way he taught, the way he healed, the way he fed, the way he just sat with people and listened, the life that he led in that body that was broken for us. God, we're thankful for his resurrection. But God, as we think of your son and what he gave, and we eat this little bit of bread, and we think of his body that was broken for us, God, help us to, just help us to think about your son and how following him is so important. God, just be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's pray for the cup. Holy Father, we thank you for the joy that it is to be your children. God, be with us now as we Again, meditate on your Son and his blood that was spilled for us. God, may we be more holy because of our life with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. But on to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord,
For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let us pray. Holy and almighty God, we give thanks to you for all the wonderful works of your hands, for your creation, for your church, for your people. We ask that you pour out your power and your spirit on your church, and we pray especially for this congregation that we may participate in the great works in which you are doing, and in all things your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, I am filling in for Brad. So happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. And I like the note that's in here, whether you have kids or not, you play an important role in the raising of our Ackland kids. So I don't have children, but I'll just take a little bit of a celebration. We have a next weekend, there's a congregation meeting for all adults, including the middle and high school students, so in the class time. So that would be great if you could plan one of our catered lunches this by Moe's Southwest Grill. So maybe we'll have a really good turnout then for both, because I'm not even sure as a deacon what we're talking about at the congregation meeting, but I'm sure it will be good. So Wednesday night is the Conway's driveway. If you haven't come to that and you're wondering about, you know, like you're newer to us and you're wondering, do I really want to go to somebody's house because it's in their driveway? Yes, you do. It's good. It's outside. You will be welcomed. It's just a good thing. And we say brown bag lunch, but people, sometimes they might make it at home, but usually they just stop at their favorite fast food or whatever, and then we eat it in the driveway. Don't forget the Ackland Music Survey. There's a QR code on the poster back there, or you can look at one of the many emails that have been sent out. And again, if you are newer and you are not on the Ackland email loop, please let one of us know. I think Paul Spivey is probably still manning that. But just let one of the elders or deacons know, and we'll make sure you get hooked up and on that. The only birthday or anniversary we have this week is Randy and Robbie Spivey with a wonderful 26-year anniversary. So please celebrate with them. Yay. And our only congratulations otherwise is Avila, who did Irish dancing and did well, taking home medals. So congrats, Avila. I love Irish dancing. I think it is so cool. An email went out about Joyce Rutledge. She would welcome cards and if you want to reach out to her in some way. And otherwise, we have a list of people to continue praying for, as always. And I think that the only immediately upcoming thing is that. And always keep the little pantry in mind when you're shopping. And we have donuts. There was a little moment when we wondered if we would, but we do. So you're dismissed. Go get them. I saw kids launching.
You've been listening to 900 Ackland Avenue, the podcast for the Ackland Avenue Church of Christ. If you'd like more information about our community, our church website is http://ackland.org. Thanks again for joining us. God bless.